All right, good afternoon, guys. Today we're going to start Perek Aleph and Tanya. Yesterday we spoke about the Hakdama and the Sharblat, how the motto of Tanya is Kikarav Elecha Davar Me'od Beficha U'Bilvav Chala. So we're going to try to figure it out B'Derech Aruka V'Ktsara, in the long, short way, how that Pasuk is close to us, how Avodas Hashem is close to us. The Alter Rebbe pointed out that there's a challenge in writing a Sefer, that everyone kind of sort of understands it from their own perspective, but he felt that it was imperative for him to write a Sefer because his Chassidim needed a way to speak to him and he couldn't see everyone. So he wrote down all of the answers to all of the questions. So let's begin without any further ado. All right. Perek Aleph Tanya, right? With Tanya is called Tanya, famously because two out of the five Svarim actually start off with the words Tanya. Tanya is obviously a Braisa. So there's a famous Gemara that the Alter Rebbe brings that speaks about when the Neshama comes down to this world, before the Neshama comes down into this world, it has to go through this process of different oaths that the Neshama takes upon itself. So that's the context of this Gemara. So what does the Gemara say? Tanya, Mashbien oso tia tzadik ve'al tia rasha. So the shvua that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Beis Din Shomala, what they make the soul say is that you should be a tzadik and you shouldn't be a rasha. Okay, pretty simple. Va'afilu kol ha'olam kulo omrim lecha tzadik ata, heye be'inecha kirasha. And even if the entire world tells you that you're a tzaddik, you should perceive yourself, you should see yourself as if you were a rasha. So it's an interesting sort of shvuah. On one hand, the nefesh, the neshama, before it comes down to this world, is told that he's supposed to be a tzaddik. For right now, we're not going to translate the word tzaddik and rasha, because we're going to see it's very important to sort of understand those terms. On a simple level, the soul is told to come down to this world and act righteously and not to act like a rasha, like an evil person. However, mitzad, the perception of a person is always supposed to look at themselves as a rasha. Even if the entire world is telling you that you're a tzaddik, you should always perceive yourself as a rasha. So the Alter Rebbe is going to ask a number of different questions on this Gemara. First of all, quoting a Mishnah, which seems to say the opposite of this concept, and also just trying to understand the psychological underpinnings of why a person should perceive himself and how a person should perceive himself. So let's see. Vitzarech Lavin says the Alter Rebbe, we have to understand this. Dehaditnan beperkei avos perek beis. Doesn't it say in perkei avos perek beis ve'al tia rasha bifnei atzmecha? You shouldn't see yourself as a rasha. You shouldn't perceive yourself as a rasha. So first of all, there's a contradiction between these two, the Gemara and the Mishnah. And obviously, generally, the Mishnah will be the stronger one. So on one hand, the Braisa tells us that the Neshama, when it comes down into this world, it takes a shvua that he needs to be a tzaddik and not a rasha. On the other hand, when it comes to perception, self-perception, he's supposed to see himself as if he is a rasha. So the Alter Rebbe says that doesn't make any sense, because we know, we learned in Perkei Avos, that a person isn't supposed to look at himself as a rasha. The Alter Rebbe continues and he says, not only is it a contradiction on the Mishnaic level that there's a Mishnah that seems to say the opposite, let's just try to understand what would happen to a person psychologically in his Avodas Hashem if he were to perceive himself as a rasha. So the Alter Rebbe says there's two sides to this. V'gam im yeh be'inov k'rasha, that if he sees himself as a rasha, yira levavo v'ye'atzu v'lo yuchal avod Hashem b'simcho uv'tuv levav. On one hand, if a person perceive himself as a rasha, the Alter Rebbe understands that if a person is constantly getting down on himself, that he's this rasha. So what's going to happen? He's going to be depressed, and he's not going to be able to serve Hashem with simcha. And we know that avodas Hashem b'simcha is such an important concept. Ad kedei kach, so much so, that the pasuk actually tells us, tachas asher lo avadta es Hashem b'simcha v'tuv levav merov kol, that part of the reason that we actually went into galus is because we didn't do avodas Hashem b'simcha. So the Alter Rebbe says, forget about the Mishnah. Let's just think about it in a logical way. If a person perceives himself as an evil person, so then how is he going to continue in his Avodas Hashem? How is he going to grow in his Avodas Hashem? He's constantly going to be depressed about his situation, and he's not going to have the motivation to continue to serve God b'simcha with happiness. The Alter Rebbe says, now that is one totah, that is one thing that can come out of a person perceiving himself in such a way. However, the opposite can actually happen as well. Says the Alter Rebbe, v'in lo yera levavo klal mizeh, and if a person comes to he realizes that he's a Rasha, and he's going to say, I don't really care, yachol lavo lidei kalus chas hashon. Says the Alter Rebbe, if a person sees himself as if though he's a Rasha, the guy's going to say, whatever, I'm going to Gehenna, I'm going to hell, either way, doesn't really matter, if I do this, I do that. One way or another, I'm a Rasha, I'm a bad person. Therefore, the first understanding of the Alter Rebbe said that he's going to become depressed with himself, and he's not going to be able to serve Hashem b'simcha. This side is saying, it's not that he's going to become depressed, he's just going to become not very careful about anything, because he's going to realize, what is this really all worth? I'm a Rasha at the end of the day anyways, there's nowhere for me to grow. It's not a depression, it's sort of a different sort of feeling of like, this isn't worth it. So the Alter Rebbe brings three issues with this brisa that we quoted in the beginning. The brisa that we quoted in the beginning says that when neshama comes down into the world, it takes a shvuah, it takes a vow that it will be a rush, that it will be a tzaddik and not a rasha. And mitzad perception, a person is supposed to perceive himself as a rasha, even if the entire world is telling you that you're a tzaddik. So the Alter Rebbe says three points. The first point, it seems that there's a Mishnah that contradicts that and says a person isn't supposed to perceive themselves as a Rasha. The second and third point is on a psychological level. It doesn't make any sense for a person to perceive themselves as a Rasha, because if he perceives himself as a Rasha, the outcome of that could be catastrophic. On one hand, he could become depressed and he won't have any motivation to continue in his Avodas Hashem with happiness. On the other hand, a person could totally be deflated by this concept and just kind of say like, well, nothing is really worth it because like I'm a Rasha at the end of the day and there's no real hope for me. So this is a very, very important question which the Alter Rebbe is raising about self-perception. How is a person supposed to look at themselves? How is a person supposed to perceive themselves? That's the first question which the Alter Rebbe poses. So the Alter Rebbe continues and he says, in order to understand this question, we really have to understand what these concepts of a tzaddik and a rasha and a beinoni are, right? Because we know that this sefer, like we said in the Akdama, this book is called the Sefer Shel Beinonim, right? It's very known that in different Hasidic courts, there were different svarim written about by different Hasidic rebbes. The Noam Elimelech, Rebbe Elimelech from Lizhansk, wrote a sefer called Noam Elimelech, and over there he speaks about the tzaddik a lot, right? The Tzidkas HaTzaddik also speaks about the tzaddik. Rebbe Elimelech spoke about that sefer, and he said that this is the Sefer Shel Tzadikim. If a person wants to strive to become a tzaddik, that's that Sefer. On the other hand, we have the Alter Rebbe, which is writing Tanya, and he's calling the Sefer of Beinonim. So what does Beinonim mean? All right, just to continue this thought, we know that Rabbi Nachman wrote Likutei Moharan, his main work, and Rabbi Nachman writes that Likutei Moharan is actually the Sefer Shel Rishayim, right? Obviously, Rishayim over there doesn't mean evildoers, but it means people who are constantly struggling, right? So, parenthetically, what the Alter Rebbe is saying is that this Sefer is going to be all about the Beinonim. So, we're going to have to understand what each of these concepts mean for the Alter Rebbe. What does a Rasha mean? What does a tzaddik mean? And what does a beinoni mean? Right? I always like to do this exercise when I learn Tanya, because the first time that I learned Tanya, I came in with a lot of preconceived, different concepts about these different terms. Right? Who's a tzaddik? Tzaddik's a righteous person. Who's a rasha? Is an evil person. And who's a beinoni? He's like this. Sometimes he does good. Sometimes he does bad. And when you're trying to really understand the concepts in the language of the Alter Rebbe, it's very difficult to fit those terms in the terms that we already are familiar with. So what I always like to do is I always like to sort of turn my brain off, right? Kind of forget everything that we've ever learned about a tzaddik, a rasha, and a beinoni, because we're going to have a totally new understanding of what these terms mean. So what I always like to do is I always like to put my finger on my head, and I like that everyone does this together, very sort of therapeutic, and saying that now I'm touching my head right now, and that's it. I don't know what's a tzaddik. I don't know what a tzaddik is. What's a beinoni? I don't know what a beinoni is. I don't even know what a rasha is. So now let's go and start to understand what this means, how that's going to affect our self-perception, and how that is going to eventually affect our avodah decision. So the Alter Rebbe continues. Acha inyan. So let's try to understand this idea. Kine matzinu b'gemara hechalukos. We found in the Gemara and in different Talmudic writings, right, five different levels of people. Tzadik v'tovlo, tzadik v'ralo, right? So I'm just going to translate what the words mean, but we're not going to speak about the concepts themselves yet. A tzadik v'tovlo is a tzadik and it's good for him, whatever that means. Tzadik v'ralo, a tzadik and it's bad for him, right? Or he has a bad life and the tzadik v'tovlo has a good life. Rasha v'tovlo, a rasha, an evil person, but it's good for him. And a rasha v'ralo sounds like it's like a rasha, but it's bad for him. And then the beinoni. So what the Alter Rebbe is about to do right now is he's going to quote a number of different Gemaras, a number of different passages from the Zohar, just trying to understand how Chazal understood these terms. So we're going to see that not all of these, not all the concepts fit together, but the Alter Rebbe is just trying to give us some background as to what to work with amongst the writings in Chazal. So he says like this: Tzadik v'tovlo, tzadik v'ralo, right? Upirshu b'gemara. Sorry, upirshu b'gemara. What does the Gemara say? Tzadik v'tovlo, tzadik gamor. Tzadik v'ralo, tzadik she'eno gamor. So the first Gemara in Bracha says, what is a tzadik v'tovlo? A tzaddik v'tovlo is a person who is a complete tzaddik. Now, what is a complete tzaddik? Still, not so clear what a complete tzaddik is. And a tzaddik v'ralo is a tzaddik which isn't complete. Still, but what is a tzaddik? And what does that mean that he's a complete tzaddik versus being a incomplete tzaddik, an incomplete tzaddik? Excuse me. So that's the first Gemara which the Alter Rebbe chooses. So then, what would a rush of v'tovlo and a rush of v'ralo mean if we're using the same logic? A rush of v'tovlo is maybe a rasha, but he's not a complete rasha. And a rush of v'ralo is maybe a complete rasha. Then what's a beinoni? Still unclear exactly. Okay, that's the first Gemara which the Alter Rebbe quotes. Let's see what else he quotes. Ubaraya mehemnya, parshas mishpatim. And in the Zohar, parshas mishpatim, the Zohar says like this: Pershu, tzadik v'ralo, shehara shebo kafuf latov. So what does the Zohar say? Who is this tzadik v'ralo? The tzadik v'ralo is that he has some sort of residue of evil still within him. However, it's kafuf latov, means that it's bent over, it's subservient to the good within him. Right? So still, what is the tzadik? The tzaddik means that maybe he's righteous, but he has this little bit of evil within him, and it's subservient to the good. So what does that mean? It means that he maybe has bad thoughts, or maybe he wants to do something, but at the end of the day, his Yetzer Tov wins. Right. So once again, we're just trying to get some background as to what Chazal said about these things. Ubigmara sof perik test de brachos. And now another Gemara at the end of Brachos says like this: Tzadikim Yetzer Tov Shoftan, Rishayim Yetzer Hara Shoftan, Beinonim Zevezeh Shoftan. So the Gemara in Brachos says a pretty simple concept, right? Who is a tzaddik? A tzaddik is one who is the judge and who rules at the end of the day? The Yetzer Tov, right? The good, the holy inclination, the good inclination is the one who is in control, right? We're already starting to be introduced to this concept that a person has two sorts of sides within him, right? Which we're going to speak about a lot in these first few prakim. So the Shoftan, Rishayim Yetzer Hara Shoftan. So what does that mean? It means that by the tzaddikim, their Yetzer Tov is in charge, but by the Rishayim, their Yetzer Hara is in charge. Okay. Beinonim, so then who's the Beinoni? Zev is Zev Shoftan. Both of them sort of have ruling abilities, right? It sounds like this Beinoni is sort of in the middle. He's kind of struggling between the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov. Says, continues the Gemara, wants to give an example of what is a Beinoni. So that's Amar Rabba. So Rabba, the Rosh Yeshiva of Pumpedisa, one of the greatest yeshivas in Bavel, he says, Kegon ana Beinoni. It's like, if you want an example of what a Beinoni is, I'm a Beinoni. Amar Le Abaye, so his student and one of his Bar Plukta people that he used to argue with a lot, Abaye says back to him, Lo Shavik Mar Chai L'chol Baria. So Abaye, his Talmud, says back to him, Lo Shavik Mar L'chol Chaya. You haven't left anywhere for us to live. Meaning, if you're a Beinoni, then what does that make all of us? That has to make all of us Rishayim. Because what you've done right now is you've risen the levels. Right? If we thought that our tzaddik was this righteous person, and now the most righteous person, Rabba, we know you're the Rosh Hashiva, and we're going to see a story about you in just a second, how righteous you were, and that you didn't stop learning even when the Malach HaMavis came. How is it possible that you're a Beinoni? That makes all of us Rishayim. So we have to understand, and we have to re-sort of interpret what these concepts are. Who is a tzaddik? Who is a Rasha? Who is a Beinoni, right? So the Alter Rebbe continues, and we'll finish up with this today. Lehavin kol ze be'er hetev. So we have to understand this deeper. How is a person supposed to perceive themselves? What is a tzaddik? What is a rasha? What is a Beinoni? So far we've asked a lot of questions, not so many answers. The Alter Rebbe says, Lehavin kol ze be'er hetev. V'gam lehavin masha amar Iov. We also have to understand what Iov had a taina against the Ribon Shalom, right? Iov is a unique sefer. It's a long sefer in Tanakh. It's unclear when exactly it was written. Unclear exactly who wrote this sefer, right? There's actually an opinion in Chazal that is all really a mashal, and none of it really happened. It's all really a parable. But in short, the story of Iov is a very sad story. He's a very righteous man, and he has this relationship with Hashem, and unfortunately, he used to be very rich, and he had a lot of children, and he lost 10 children, and he lost all of his money, and he has a lot of questions in Amunah, which he asks Hashem. He says, why are you doing this to me? So one of the questions that he asks, says the Gemara, Ribono Shel Olam, he says, Hashem, Barasa tzadikim, barasa rishayim, v'chulun. Meaning, what is, on a simple level, what is Eov's question? Eov's question is, you've created people in such a way in which they have the tendency to become tzadikim. And you've created people with the tendency that they're going to become rishayim. So Eov says, how is it possible that you, at the end of the day, are going to come and take din v'cheshbon, you're going to make people pay for their actions if you've really decided, meirosh, who is going to be a tzaddik and who is going to be a rasha. The Alter Rebbe says, Hari, that doesn't make any sense because v'hatzaddik v'rasha lo kamar. He's pointing back to the Gemara that we quoted in the beginning of Tanya, where it speaks about the Shavua. On one hand, a person is told that he has to take an oath that he's going to be a tzaddik and he's not going to be a rasha. However, over there, the Gemara says that when the neshama comes down into the world, there's decisions about how the neshama is going to look. Is he going to be strong? Is he going to be weak? Is he going to be poor? Is he going to be rich? All different types of characteristics. But the Gemara goes out of its way to explain that Hashem does not decide whether a person is going to be a tzaddik or a rasha, because that's taking away free will from a person. So Eov's question is, how can you possibly punish and reward if you've decided from the beginning who is going to be a tzaddik and who is going to be a rasha? So the Alter Rebbe says, I don't understand Eov's question, because the Gemara clearly says that Hashem doesn't make that decision. So what is Eov asking? It has to be that Eov is asking something else. So just to conclude for today, let's just remind ourselves what we saw today. We introduced the concept of self-perception, how a person is supposed to perceive themselves, right? Is a person supposed to look at themselves as a rasha? We saw that there's challenges, right? On one hand, there's a contradiction. It doesn't seem like that's what the Mishnayos seem to say. On the other hand, we saw psychological hesitations to looking at yourself as a rasha, either that you're going to fall into this pity and abyss and kind of depression, you're not going to be able to do Avodas Hashem besimcha. On the other hand, a person could totally be mezalzel and totally just say, ah, oh, whatever, I'm going to hell anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Those are the two issues there. So the Alter Rebbe has said, in order to understand all of these, we have to redefine our terms. Who is a tzaddik? Who's a rasha? Who's a beinoni? We saw a few different opinions in the Gemara and in the Zohar. And the Alter Rebbe says that, brings the Gemara with Rabba, that Rabba says that he was a beinoni. And it seems that the Alter Rebbe is very uncomfortable with this concept. Abaye himself said, how is it that Rabba, how is it that you, such a tzaddik, are calling yourself a beinoni? So it has to be that there's something a little bit deeper here. And the final question that we saw today was Eov's question is, how can you reward and how can you punish when you've decided, when you have these preconditions about who's going to be a tzaddik and who's going to be a rasha? And the Alter Rebbe said, it's clear from the Gemara that Hashem doesn't decide, because that's taking away free will. So far, we've asked a lot of questions. If you have no idea what's going on, that's totally okay. That's exactly where we're supposed to be. It's Hashem. Next time we'll get together, we'll start hopefully trying to answer the questions. All right, L'chaim. Have a great, great day.